I want to first say good morning. It is certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord. Certainly good to be back here at Friendship Church. And been looking forward to this Sunday and seeing and looking forward to see what the Lord's going to do for us, you know. And but looking forward to see how the Lord's going to use us too, you know. And as we go into the service, just keep us in your prayers that we would just do that what the Lord would do. The kindest thing that anybody can ever do for me in this world is to pray for me. To just lift up my name to the throne room of God. That is the kindest act that anybody can do. You know, especially for those of us who have been saved by His grace, who knows God in the free pardon of sin, and who knows exactly how He has entered us in the past. And this morning while we were headed up here, you know, this past weekend, me and my wife, we came up on Friday and just sort of had a nice little weekend up in here in Indiana and just been thankful to be able to relax a little bit. But as we've traveled and everything, the more I travel and the more I see the creation that God has made, the more that I just stand in awe of God and how He... In 6 days, how He created the heaven and the earth and all things that dwelt therein, the more I just stand in awe that He was able to do all this. And the Bible plainly even tells us, the book of Romans, and I'm going to paraphrase this the best of my ability, that you can look at the creation and know that God has even made it. You know, and for us as God's people to just even think, or for the lost souls to even think there isn't a God, that's foolish. You know, the Bible says it's foolish. And I'll tell you what, folks, if you've not been saved by the grace of God, then you know nothing about true love. And you know nothing about the wonderful acts of God until God breaks you down of your pride and God breaks you down of your will and how you call upon His name. And He just gives you the sweetest peace that you've ever felt in your life. And I tell you what, folks, that is the greatest thing that us as mankind can ever receive is salvation from God. And just pray for us. But you know, I'm just so thankful to be able to feel the Spirit. We can't even be in church. We can't even have church unless God just flows amongst us. Amen. And as what Paul said, that we might be able to have, that the word of the Lord might be able to have free course, just freely able to move. Have you ever been in one of those services before where the Spirit of the Lord has moved and all of a sudden it just comes to a flat stop? Oh, I have. And I didn't like it. And lots of times I was the one that was sitting down. Lots of times I was the one that wasn't able to give up my pride or give anything up and say, Lord, use me. Lots of times, you know, us as Baptists, we just, and it's me especially, I'd say, Lord, don't use me. Use somebody else, you know. But Isaiah, you know what he said? He said, Lord, here am I. Send me. I thank God that we have brothers and sisters and for the saints of old who are allowing and saying, God, send me. You know, and that's actually going to go in with what the Lord's laid on our hearts for a little bit. The subject or the thought that the Lord has placed in my heart for this morning is a healthy church. A healthy church. And I'm going to go in 1 Timothy in the 4th chapter. And I'm just going to read the 7th and 8th verses there. 1 Timothy, 4th chapter, verses 7 and 8. Paul was writing to the young preacher here, and he said, But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And if the Lord will be my helper this morning, I need to bring out this subject, a healthy church. You know, back in high school, I like to call them my glory days, you know. I played football there for the middle school and the high school up and down in Macon County, Tennessee, and I loved it with passion. But you see, we had to keep ourselves in a healthy shape. That way when game day came, we'd be able to perform what we had practiced all week long. There were some things, you know, and one of our coaches, he was one of our, health coordinators, if you want to use that word. He would give us a list or write on a board about things that we should eat, things that we shouldn't eat, and things that we should do that would just help keep our bodies healthy. And now you can see that I've let that slack a little bit. But you know, he was doing his very best to keep us healthy and in good game day shape. And lots of times whenever summer conditioning came, we do the most ungodliness running that there has ever been. And but there are some days that we would run and he'd say, boys, you run until I tell you to stop. Next thing you know, we've been running for about an hour or two. We're like, well, coach, when's this going to happen? But you know, he was getting us and helping us to be healthy. And there were some habits that we had that were unhealthy to our bodies. And you can tell it when practice came, when game day came, or when you ran that mile, that maybe you drank a little caffeine, or maybe you had a little chocolate bar. And the reason we know that is because you'd start getting a little sluggish. You'd start not feeling all too well. You know, lots of times when it comes to the house of God, I find myself in a sluggish state. I find myself in a place where it's just like, well, Lord, I'm going to church. It's just going to church. You know, it has no meaning in behind it. And I hate that feeling. I hate it whenever I just say, oh, Lord, this is just another opportunity to stand. This is just another thing that I should do. But you know what? It's something that I should take and be glad for it. How God would even make his church and would have a building for us to attend and for us to sing praises to him and for us to feel his presence is something that we shouldn't take for granted. And I'm afraid I've done that a lot. And I'm afraid several people have done that. It's something that we should thank God for each and every opportunity that we have. Because one of these days, we're not going to have that opportunity. But folks, we need to keep ourselves in a healthy condition. That way, when God wants to use us, he can use us. And we just don't feel sluggish about it. You know, we need to keep ourselves in this healthy condition. And I'll tell you what, there are some unhealthy habits that I have. One of those is doubt. Man, I doubt God a whole lot, you know. And you know what the children of Israel did? In the 78th chapter of Psalms, the psalmist was giving us a history lesson from when they wandered in the wilderness for about 40 years. And it said, one of the verses says, and they spake against God. And they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You know, when you use the words, can God, you are doubting what God can do. Matter of fact, when you use the words, can God, you don't even have enough faith that God can take care of that certain situation. And lots of times I find myself going, well, can God really be able to do this? You know, we see the sluggish state that some of us are in, and I say, well, can God even still bring a revival? Well, can God even still be able to fill up the churches? Well, I tell you this, folks, God can still be able to do that. And God will be able to do that if we just follow him as his people. You know, and as we just don't doubt him, but move with faith, not doubting what God has done. Another unhealthy habit, seeking my own selfish desires. Book of James says that, you know, he's talking about prayer, and James said, well, when you pray, you ask, and you receive not because you ask amiss, That word amiss means in a faulty manner. And if you go further in the verse, it says it's because you wish to consume it upon your own lusts. You know, Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew that we are to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto us. Lots of times I question, am I even seeking the kingdom of God? Lots of times. Am I even seeking what God wants for me? Am I seeking what God wants for my life today? Am I just in this sluggish and comfortable state? And I tell you what, if when you're comfortable, that is a bad place to be.
Amen.
The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, Jesus was talking to the church at Laodicea there. And he said, I'm paraphrasing this. He said, I wish you was cold, I wish you was hot, but since you're lukewarm, I have to spew you out of my mouth. Are we hot, are we cold, or are we just lukewarm? Are we comfortable with the way things are going in this world? Are we comfortable with the way things are going with the church? We shouldn't be. Matter of fact, we should continue to strive for what God wants us to do. And we should continue to strive for the will of God. And you know what His will is? The Bible says in Romans, it says His will is that no man should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
We are to seek His will. We are to lift up the name of Jesus in everything that we do. And He said that if we lift Him up, then He will draw all men unto Him. And I tell you, that is a promise, and that is some that He has kept. Because I remember as a little boy, when the church would uplift the name of Jesus, I'd get that knocking on my heart. And I remember that day, I told you my testimony, I remember that day when Mom and Dad, they followed the Lord and asked if I was lost, I felt that knocking on my heart. I felt something just being uncomfortable within me. Something that just wasn't settling well within me. It was because they was allowing God to use them. And if we allow God to use us, folks, we can see the greatest revival that has ever been.
Amen.
And I believe God still wants to revive His people. You know, and it starts with us. You know, lots of times I look at a problem and I'll say, well, what's going on with this? And what's going on with that? And lots of times it goes back to, I have to ask myself, what's going on with me? Why ain't I in the shape that I need to be in? Why ain't I doing this? We can sit around and point fingers all day, but it comes back to, what am I doing for the Lord?
Amen, brother. Come on,
you know, and another thing that is unhealthy, pride. You know, pride, matter of fact, one of the seven deadliest sins that Solomon wrote about in the book of Proverbs, he said, God hates a proud look. A proud look. Man, that's just a bounce in your step, you know. We shouldn't be prideful. Matter of fact, I know people out there today, they'll say, well, they're prideful about their cars and they're prideful about their house, but I want to let you know what, folks, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't have that in the first place. If it wasn't God, it wasn't God that given that to you, you wouldn't have any of that in the first place. It's all God. And one of these days, this world is going to be set on fire. He promised that, you know, the other day we were headed up to Ohio, me and my wife were, and we just came out of this monsoon of a rain. Next thing you know, we saw the prettiest rainbow that you ever seen. And the thing that came back to my mind was the rainbow that God made and sit on the earth after he flooded the world that first time. You know what that rainbow was? It was a promise that He wouldn't destroy the world with water again. But He's coming back, and this time He'll destroy the world with fire and brimstone. And folks, you know, I believe that people thought Noah was crazy whenever he started building that ark there, you know. And, you know, and I believe that these people at the time, they haven't even seen a drop of rain. They didn't even know what was happening. You know, and I know lots of times today, the world might look at the church of Jesus Christ and say, well, they're just a bunch of crazy folks. But I'll tell you what, you know, this way that we have, that's an oh-so way. You know, I've witnessed people say, well, I might be saved, or I think I'm saved, but folks, I know I'm saved. You know why? Because the Spirit bore witness with my spirit one day that I was a child of God. God will let you know. But lots of times it takes us getting our own foolish pride out of the way. You know, and lots of times I'm just too proudful of things, you know. Lots of times whenever I look back in my life, I'm just too proudful to get rid of anything, you know. Or me and my wife will get into some argument on the road, and I'm too proudful to let her know I'm wrong about something. So I'm just going to keep arguing with her anyways, because I don't want to admit that I'm wrong. But you know what? We need to get rid of that. God doesn't like a prideful attitude. You know, we can't do anything without the Lord's help. You know who God uses? He doesn't use people who are filled with pride, but He uses people who are humble. He uses people who have humility and are willing to just let God use them. We read in the book of Luke, I believe, about two men went to the temple to pray. And there was one man who lifted up his eyes or who wouldn't even look up towards heaven. He said, God, I thank you for this day. Or, God, I thank you for this, thank you for that. I thank you that I'm not as other men are. I give my tithes, give my offerings. I'm paraphrasing this. But then we read of a publican who said he wouldn't even lift up his eyes towards heaven. And he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. See, one person's heart was in the right condition, and the other person was filled with pride. Folks, I know that I believe in eternal security. I believe once saved, always saved. But I believe you can lose the joy of your salvation. And you know what? I've lost that joy a time or two. And it's terrible, ain't it? It's terrible. And lots of times whenever I'm distant from God, it's not because God changed, but it's because I went that distance. Lots of times this adversary, Satan, will come and he'll say, well, if you do this just a little bit, it'll be all right. And then you do it and say, well, I can do it a little bit and it'll be all right. Next thing you know, you look back to the shore and you're far from that lighthouse. And it's not because God moved. It's because you just moved with the ocean and with the way things are going. We don't need to move with the way this world was going. We need to stand firm on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to stand firm on what He has given His church to stand upon and to teach, you know. Jeremiah tells us to stand and seek and ask for the old paths. We don't need to get rid of anything that God has given us. We are not to sell the gospel. We're to stand firm on it, no matter what might come our way. And there's another unhealthy habit that I have. And especially since I'm a Baptist, I have this a lot. Gluttony. Oh, I love to eat. Eating and sleeping are my favorite pastimes. I love doing that. Now, lots of times, you know, you won't find me anywhere else except one of two places. In my lazy boy recliner at home, or maybe at the all-you-can-eat buffet. I just love to eat. And my wife, whenever she cooks, I tell her to make a good heaping meal of what she's cooking because I just love to eat. But you know what? This word gluttony or the word fast, you know, sometimes we need a fast. And I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about spiritually the children of God need to fast. You know what that means? To get rid of. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes in the second chapter there that the wise man Solomon, one day he got up and he just started seeking the desires of his own heart. And so he built houses, made gardens, and he got a bunch of vineyards, and he got women singers and men singers, and he marveled in all the work that he'd done, and he looked back and he said, this is vanity. You know what that means? Worthless. Mounting to absolutely nothing. I'm afraid lots of times I spend my time with things that don't amount to absolutely anything.
I told y'all last time I was here, I'm a big sports advocate. You know, me and my wife, the last couple weekends, we traveled to Ohio, and I wanted to go see the University of Michigan football stadium. I wanted to go see Ford Field where the Lions play and everything. Man, it's a great sight to see. But at the end of the day, what did I gain from it? Nothing. I just added extra miles to my car. But I didn't add anything. No value. To me, there was some value. But it is actually completely worthless. How many times do we spend our days with things that are just absolutely worthless? And if it don't amount, if it doesn't help us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ or get us closer to God, you know what it is? It's vanity. I'm afraid lots of times we come to the household of the Lord, when we come to His house, which is supposed to be a house of prayer and a house of worship, we'd rather spend it on our cell phones, say, well, let's see what's happening on Facebook right now. We'd rather spend it thinking about what's happening outside the church. And I'll tell you what, folks, God doesn't get no glory from that. And it doesn't help us out either, trying to be healthy. You know, I grew up underneath a preacher. My daddy was one. I thought he was the most long-winded preacher that there ever was on the face of the earth. And there was one day I remember, we were sitting in church there at Harmony in Nashville, and then we were sitting there, and I believe he started preaching for about 45 minutes or an hour or maybe even longer. And I started thinking to myself, man, when is he going to shut up? Because I want to go on and go to Cracker Barrel and get me a bite to eat. I want to watch a football game. My mind and my heart wasn't on God. And you know what happened? People started shouting. People started praising the Lord. I didn't feel a thing. You know why? Because I was not set on God. I was unhealthy spiritually. I was unhealthy. I wasn't in a place where God can use me. But I'll tell you what, Timothy says that we need to exercise ourselves rather unto godliness. For physical exercise, it profits little, because this body's just going to die one day. But rather exercise thyself unto godliness. Exercise thyself spiritually. You know what would be some good healthy habits to pick up? Seeking God in all things that we do. Whether it be buying a house, buying a car, or filling out an application for a job, or whether it be, Lord, what can I do in your service? Seeking God. Another thing that would be really healthy, pray. Study. You see, don't just take the words that I take. You take the words that comes out from behind this pulpit. But rather, when you go home, you pray about it and you study it out for your own self. Exercise yourself unto godliness that you might be a better worker for the Lord. We're supposed to be a healthy group of people. And I'll tell you what, folks. This world that we live in today, there needs to be some healthy churches. There needs to be some healthy old-time missionary Baptist churches standing firm on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. There needs to be some healthy churches that's still praising the Lord, that's still seeking His will. And I'll tell you what, in the book of Deuteronomy, we read I'm going to get there. I don't want to mess this up. But in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is, the book of Exodus, in the 33rd chapter, we see that Moses was talking to God on top of the mountain. And God was telling him and the people to just go on. And Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry not up us hence. If you're not going to be with us and I don't want to go, we should have that kind of attitude. Lord, if you're not going to be with me, then I don't want to do it. If you're not going to want me to do it, then I don't want to do it. Otherwise, how are the people of the world going to know that this is the house of the true and living God? when they come in, you know what they should feel? Not just love, not just warm welcomes, but they should feel the presence and power of God. And they should see God's people. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, we need to say so. I remember the saints of old growing up. They stand up, they start, one brother, he'd get happy, and he'd start laughing, he'd start clapping his hands, and they say, you know, a sister would get up, she'd start shouting. And I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of testifying start going on. The redeemed of the Lord was saying so. And you know what? Growing up as that little boy, before I was saved, I knew that there was something different about the people I was gathering with. There was something special about it. It was because they had fancy houses, fancy cars. It was because God saved their souls. And they weren't afraid to tell you about it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And folks, we need to, you know, and I tell you what, when we talk about testifying, some people just automatically think, well, I didn't tell them about how the Lord saved my soul. Not necessarily. I remember growing up, how there'd be people out there in the church house, they'd stand, they'd say, brother, I want to thank God for meeting me in the tobacco field this weekend. I want to thank God for giving me a piece about something that I've been troubling and yearning for. That's testifying. And that's still the redeemed saying so. And I'll tell you what, that is a healthy habit to get in. You know, we need, you know, I tell you, we read in the book of, I believe, the 2 Chronicles, if I'm not wrong, about Jehoshaphat. And I tell you, then this comes back that we need to seek the Lord. You know, Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, they were looking at the battlefield and they saw the Ammonites there. And they were wondering, well, how in the world do we get around these people? And they stood there and they said, Lord, our eyes are upon you. Our eyes need to be upon Jesus today. Well, you know, they said, Lord, our eyes are upon you. So Jehoshaphat being the ruler there, he got himself in a place, and the Bible says that his face fell on the ground, and he started seeking after God. And you know what? He came back to the children of Israel, and he said, guys, I know exactly how we're going to get through this. God wants us to sing. I can't imagine just how dumbfounded some of the people were that day. You know, playing football, I couldn't imagine my quarterback coming in the huddle and he said, folks, I tell you how we're going to score a touchdown, we're going to sing. That confused me. But you know what? They started singing praises unto the Lord there. And you know what happened? God delivered them. God delivered them because they were willing to do what he wanted them to do. That is faith. We read about Joshua and the walls of Jericho and how God told Joshua to take the children of Israel and for each day to march around the walls of Jericho. And then on the seventh day, take your priests, take the ram's horns, take the trumpets, and on that seventh day, march around there while you're doing it, blow those trumpets and ram's horns out loud. And you know what happened? The walls of Jericho fell down. God delivered them. That was faith. We need to have faith. No matter how small or how big the task is that God tells us to do, we need to have faith. And you know what? We read in the Bible, where there was a man walking on water one day. And you know what? I tell you what, folks, I believe that there was two men in the world that walked on water. There was Jesus. All of a sudden, his disciples got scared. And they said, and Peter said, well, Lord, if it be you, then just bid me to come. And so you know what happened? Jesus looked at that boat and he said, come. And Peter started walking on water. I don't know how far he got, But I tell you this much, he was walking to Jesus, and the next thing you know, the storm started brewing around him worse. And he took his eyes off Jesus. And you know what happened after that? He started to sink. You know, if we take our eyes off Jesus, we're going to sink. If we take our eyes off what the Lord wants us to do, we're going to start sinking. And you know what he told Peter? He grabbed him by the hand and he said, "Oh, thee a little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Sometimes we doubt, do we not? You know, I tell you what, another thing I have a problem with is patience. I tell you, I like fishing. But if I go out to the pond or a creek or whatever, and I fish for an hour and don't have a bite, I'm going home. I can't stand that. But you know what? As a matter of fact, last weekend, me and my wife, we were headed to Cincinnati. You know, GPS told us we'd be at our hotel. We were headed to Toledo, and our GPS, my GPS told me we'd be at our hotel by 4:30 or 4:50. They say, you know, we're in Louisville. My GPS says we won't be there till 7:30. And all of a sudden, I start throwing the biggest pity party you've ever seen. Folks, I tell you, I'm good about throwing pity parties. I'm the best there is. And sometimes I just might even invite some of y'all. But you know what? She looked at me and she said, "Why don't you calm down? Maybe the Lord's trying to protect us from something." You know what? That made me think. That started stirring something within me. Maybe sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers the way that we like him to. Maybe sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers the time span that we want him to. But God's still going to provide. He provided the children of Israel with everything that they needed. Even when they was walking in the wilderness for those 40 years, they were hungry. You know what happened? He gave them manna from heaven. He provided for them. You know, and Jehoshaphat and everything with the Ammonites, he provided for them. Joshua and the walls of Jericho, he provided for them. And God will provide for us. We just have to find ourselves in the center of God's will. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees one day. And he said, "In vain this people does worship me, for they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." How close is our heart to God? Are we far? Are we distant? Or are we trying to be close? That song that we sung just a couple minutes ago, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." That's all I long for. And that's all I yearn for is, "Lord, just give me a little closer walk with you." But you know what? Lots of times when I find myself having those closer walks, you know what I need to do? Get rid of this world. Get rid of the world. And folks, I know that's hard to do. But I tell you, Jesus never told us anything was going to be easy. I know that's not comforting. But I tell you, it's not going to be easy. But he said, "I'll be with you even until the end of the earth." And that's a promise he's kept.
Amen.
You know, I was 15 years old when the Lord called me to preach. In that very first sermon, I walked in the church house, and I said, "Man, this is going to be the best sermon these people have ever heard. Man, the backsliders are going to come back. They're going to repent. Lost souls are going to get saved. This is going to be the best thing that's ever happened." Next thing you know, they sung that little song, "Just a Little Talk with Jesus." And God broke me. And I said, "Lord, I can't do this without you." And next thing you know, I've been behind the book board. I open up my Bible and I just feel the presence of the Lord. And the Lord says, "It's all right. I'll be with you." He'll be with us, folks. We got to keep ourselves in a healthy condition, though, for him to use us. We don't need to be sluggish. We don't need to be unhealthy. We need to be in a healthy condition. We need to say, "Lord, here I am. Just use me." You know, and we need to follow, above all, the Spirit of God. That first sentence of the church covenants, having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God. I tell you what, folks, you shouldn't have joined the church because mom and daddy was members of that church. You shouldn't have joined the church because your friends were a member of that church. But you should join it because the Spirit of God told you so. And in everything that we do, we should do it because the Spirit of God told us so. But we need to get ourselves in that condition. Humbly, lowly, knowing that we cannot even get out of bed without God's help. And folks, that holds true to itself. We need the Lord in everything we do. But we need to be in a nice, healthy, and stable condition for Him to use us. We want to see the people in this community come into church. If we want to see lost souls come in and get saved, then we need to be healthy. We need to get rid of the foolishness and the pridefulness of the world and let God use us. Jesus told his disciples, he said, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill and it cannot be hid." And that holds true to the church today. I'm done. And I hope and pray somebody got something out of this. But I above all pray that the Lord was lifted up for just a few moments of time. Brother, I turn back to you.